Okay, so let's go ahead then. A little bit of this is going to be review over some of the things we've talked about. Some of the material will be new. What I want to go over is, what do we need to do for spiritual development? What do we need to do to grow our spirits? And we talked about four primary areas. One, to meditate in the Word. Two, to put the Word first. Three, to practice the Word, to do it. Four, to obey the voice of your spirit instantly. Now, you all know those. We've said those over and over, so you're going to want to really know those. Now, we've helped you with putting the Word first because of assigning that daily Bible reading. So you're doing that. You are putting the Word first. You are seeking God first. That's why you're here. You've decided it's a priority to you to go after God. And we know that when we go after God, He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You're diligently seeking the Lord by setting aside this much time in your schedule and going after Him, going after His Word, going after more knowledge, more intimate knowledge of Him, and He's going to reward you because His Word says so. So praise God for that. So we have great expectation for lots of blessings flowing in your life. Blessings in finances, blessings in housing locations, blessings in business opportunities. We're expecting that. I want to look at this, and I want to encourage you in this so that you can be an encouragement to others. We are to be disciples. And go ahead and open up to John chapter 8, verse 31. And in John chapter 8, verse 31, it talks about being a disciple. And it says, Jesus, therefore, was saying to them, or to those Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. Now, the King James says, if you continue in My word. The NIV says, if you hold to My teaching. The Amplified puts it this way, if you abide in My word, hold fast to My teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly My disciples. And that's really sums up a lot of what we've been looking at in this class, that it's abiding in His word. And we're doing that by getting this daily discipline put into place of going after the word. Even if it's only 15 minutes a day, it's still, you're prioritizing, I'm putting God first in my day. I'm not going to just do God on Saturday when I'm finished with my work and my errands and my busyness and do a cram session with God on Saturday. I love doing cram sessions. I just want you to know that. I love having an entire day to just soak in the word and study. And I do it a lot. Okay, but it does not make up for the daily discipline of going to the Word every day. So we want to just get that instilled. This is a priority. If I'm putting God first, it means He's first in my day. He's not just first in my week, okay, where I include Him once a week. He's first in my day. You know what I think is going to happen? It's going to seem odd to you if you're not reading your Bible every day. And we want that. Now, granted, when you're finished with this, you're going to spend more time in the epistles. You don't have to go through the Old Testament this much, but it is good for you to at least do it once. Now, maybe some of you have already done that on your own, but if you haven't, it's good to at least go through it one time. Then after that, the core of your study time is going to be in the epistles, the letters to the church. You are the church. That's what's alive to you today. That's what's written to you today, and that's where you're going to get the most life, the most light, and the most revelation. All right, the Amplified, I read that. So now where do we want to go? I want to look at, that's what Jesus says. You're a disciple if you're doing that. If you're abiding in His word, you are His disciple. I think it would be pretty fair to say every one of you are a disciple of Christ. You didn't just get saved and you're out doing your own thing. If you were out doing your own thing, you wouldn't be here. Right? There's a hunger in you. You've decided, I want to be a disciple. I want to abide in His word, and I'm going for it. I'm diligently seeking Him. So there's something, He's drawn you. There's something in your heart. There's a hunger where you want more of Him. You want to know Him more. You want to know His word more. And that's primarily the way you get to know Him better is through His written word. So you're doing that. So this is what He says makes you a disciple, if you abide in His word. You're doing that. Now let's look at what He says will tell others that you're a disciple. in John 13, verses 34 and 35. And I know that we've gone over some of these scriptures, but they're so good, I want to go over some of them again. Again, a little bit of this is review. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, apparently that was important to him because he put it in the Word. So he wants others to know there's a difference between you and the world. And this is what he says shows all men that you're his disciple. The difference is love. Now, this class is about spiritual development, growing your spirit. And we looked at practicing the Word is a big part of that. So we need this to be apparent to people. We need them to see that there's a difference. They should be approaching you and saying, what's different about you? What's different about you? We want that because we want the light of Christ in us to shine forth so that God's glorified, so that he's drawing men to himself, but he uses vessels. Why does he use vessels? Because we're called to preach the gospel. He's not here in person, in bodily form, to preach the gospel, and the angels are not allowed to do it. It was left to us. It's our commission. It's our assignment. What is exactly our assignment? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, we are told to go into all the world and make disciples. Not just get people saved, but make disciples. So if we start actually even in verse 18, Jesus talks about all authority has been given to me. Well, that's interesting because look at the next line. It says, go therefore. What's the therefore, therefore? The therefore is there because he's telling you something. It's connecting something. It's connecting the fact that Jesus said all authority has been given to me. And then he was commissioning you based on the authority that was given to him. He's now commissioning you to go in his place. He's saying, all authority's been given to me. Go therefore. And it's implied you. All authority's been given to me. Now you go therefore. You go therefore. And I'm going to tell you where to go. Where does he tell us to go? He tells you to go and make disciples. Make disciples of who? Of all the nations. Big vision God. Big God. Of all the nations. Praise the Lord. Actually, we don't really even need to leave this area, do we? We can do it right here. But if he calls us to leave this area, then we will. But really, I'm starting to see that we're really fulfilling the Great Commission just by our location. We'll go as he tells us to go, but it's happening right here. And by having everybody stand up and say where they're from, I mean, I'm telling you, from my perspective here, it looked like at least 50%. We're born in a foreign country. I was surprised. I thought, wow, praise God. This is good. We're glad. I'm very glad. And what are we to do? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, teaching them. This is how you make disciples. Yes, we're to baptize, but this is connected too. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So what you're learning is for yourself, but it's also for you to impart to others. Now, I want to go back because I don't think we covered this very much. At least I haven't. And it talks about meditate in the Word. And I did some studying on that today. To meditate in the Word, because we're talking about those four principles, right, of growing and developing your spirit. And one of them is meditate in the Word. Well, what is the difference between meditate in the Word and put the Word first? Or practice the Word. Specifically, what's the difference between meditate in the Word and put the Word first? Okay, we're putting the Word first. We're reading it every day. We're making it a priority in our daily lives. I'm doing it too, right, with you. I'm doing the same reading you are. I know what you read in Isaiah today because I read it too. So I know what you read. What does meditate in the Word mean? In the Hebrew, that word meditate, if we were going to look in Joshua 1:8, why don't you turn there? Because I want to go over this with you. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. That word meditate right there is the Hebrew word. It's spelled H-A-G-A-H. But the interesting thing about it is when I looked it up, it means to get this, to moan, to growl, to utter, to speak, to muse, to declare, devise, again growl, make a sound, meditate, mutter, utter, ponder. Now, if you look at all of those, I only see ponder, meaning like to think on, one time in there. Most of that is talking about some type of speaking, whether it's mutter or utter or growl or speak or moan. But in other words, there's something coming out of your mouth. Now, I think today we use the word meditate, and I think of somebody, you know, sitting going, I mean, that's just the picture I have. And when I think of the word meditate, I think of think on. You're thinking on something. I'm thinking on. I'm meditating. But that's really not the definition of this word as they were using it. Now, to muse, according to Webster's dictionary, means to meditate, to think, or to say with meditating. In other words, we see again, it's not just think, but there's as much saying as the thinking. But in this meditating, what I want you to get out of this is it's not just reading the word. And even if you look back at Joshua 1:8, the first part of the phrase says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meaning he doesn't just want it in your thought life. He wants you speaking the word. And this is not something you're doing for the benefit of others. This is something you're doing for the benefit of yourself. You're uttering it for yourself. You're speaking it for yourself. And most of this is done in private. So I've heard a lot of people, if you start to kind of check out when you're doing your Bible reading, first thing you want to do is pray first. God, open the eyes of my understanding. Help me to get something out of this. Show me what you want me to see out of this, Lord. Help me to get this. So you want to pray first. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is my teacher and I'm going to get something out of this. You want to minister to me today. You want to speak to me today. And then he'll start having scriptures pop out to you and he'll just minister life to you. But see, even in reading the word, you've got to benefit, activate your faith. Anybody can sit there and go through the motion, but if you're going through the motion and checking the square, but you're not exercising faith, you're not going to get very much out of it. Do you see what I'm saying? I did my duty, check. I did my duty, check. Well, you want to check yourself and the attitude in doing that. And then you want to ask him to be your teacher. Ask him to show you what you need to see. Ask him to minister to you while you're reading. And it'll change where it's not just you're going through the motion, but it's now suddenly ministering life. There's a difference there. And what is this saying? Now, and I was going to say this. If sometimes people are doing it late at night, which I don't recommend as being the best time, and you're tired from a long day and you start to check out, it is beneficial to read it out loud to yourself because you've got a double blessing there. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're hearing yourself speak it. And you're meditating in the word. You're uttering it. So not only are you putting it first, but you're speaking it out of your mouth. There's something effective and powerful about lining up with God and speaking God's word in agreement with him. It's good, and it will help you. Now, again, I don't know what your thinking is, what your concept is of that word meditate, but it's a little different from the way I think most of us think of that word. It's not just to think on. It's speak it, mutter it, say it over and over to yourself, which is another good reason why it's good to get some of these scriptures memorized, some of the basics, so that while you're driving in your car, you can the Holy Ghost can help you and draw them up out of your heart, and you can speak them out. You can go over them and over them. Why? Because you're building yourself up. You're strengthening yourself in the word. Now, let's talk about this, a spiritual man. There were three categories of men that we read about in the book Growing Up Spiritually. It was the natural man, which was unsaved, the carnal man, which was saved and just not renewed, not walking in the things of God, really, and then the spiritual man. Here's what the spiritual man is supposed to be like. And I'm going to quote this from the book. Developed in divine things, his spirit has gained the ascendancy over his intellectual processes. His spirit has gained ascendancy over his body and his physical senses. God governs him through the word. That's a goal. What does that mean? It means your spirit is going to be stronger than your thinking, than your thought process. Your spirit is stronger than your body or your flesh. So that if somebody needs healing and the body is feeling one thing and the word of God says another, your spirit is strong enough to not go with the sense realm and hook up with what the word says. A goal, something that we're in the process of going after that, getting ourselves strong and developed so that that's what we achieve. Here's one of the ways that we do that. We know it's by the word. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That seems just very basic. Man does not live by bread alone. But there is such a strong connection in Jesus doing this, in him using bread as being like manna from heaven, that the physical body cannot continue growing and developing without food. But the spirit man, who we cannot see with our eyes, does not develop and grow without spiritual food. And this is something you take by faith. And we talk about Smith Wigglesworth pulling his chair back in a restaurant in a public setting and saying, "We've fed our bodies, now let's feed our spirits." And he would read the word out loud, no matter what company he was with. Never left his house without a Bible. Always had a Bible with him. Never allowed a newspaper inside his house. Valued the word and the truth of the word. Okay, but what we see is that the word of God is like manna from heaven. It grows your spirit. But this is something that you have to take by faith and believe and do. And don't you notice after your reading that there's a sense, a knowing of being renewed, feeling refreshed? Are you noticing that as you get into the word? Even if you're tired. See, a lot of times, I'm going to tell you something else. This is something that Keith Moore shared with us at school. Maybe I've shared this with you before. He was working as a teacher at Rhema. So he was teaching several classes every day. And then he was doing healing school, which is then whole afternoon. And then on the weekends, to earn extra money, he would travel and go minister over the weekend in churches and then fly back. So he's probably ministering, sometimes Sunday morning, maybe even Sunday night, and then flying back maybe like all night to get back in school in time for Monday morning. So that's the way they really made money because, and so a lot of them were believing God and they have to go travel to really. What he was saying is that he was getting to a point where he was just very, very tired. And he said what happened is he was trying to sleep more. And then God started showing him it wasn't sleep. A lot of times people will think that they need physical rest because they think they're tired. But there's just such a strong connection that really so much of the time it's that the spirit's tired. The spirit's drained. And so you're thinking it's the physical body. Yes, our physical bodies do need rest. And even sometimes with hunger, this is true too. Sometimes people will think, I'm hungry. And it's a spiritual hunger more than it's physical. But see, if you're not real careful identifying your spirit being, you'll think, gee, I need more rest. Or I'm hungry. And that hunger is a hunger for the word. Because I can tell you this, especially for those of you that are called to minister the gospel, you have got to be putting enough in. You have got to put enough word in you. You think it's natural sleep that you need, and you may, but you better check on the spirit man. Are you getting enough word in you to sustain you? And then you want to go beyond sustaining to growing. If the physical body needs 3 good meals a day, how much does your spirit man need to grow? But just because we don't see it with our eyes, and because the world doesn't teach this, and the world doesn't value this, and so many of us grew up in homes that weren't Christian, that weren't teaching it's God first, it's the word first, you have gone 24, maybe 30 years without putting the word first, and you've coped. But there's a better way. You get that spirit man strong, and my, everything else will be easier. Yeah. And the rest that you see, you keep saying, I need more rest. I need more rest. I'm so tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. And this is what Keith Moore found. God just starts showing him, you're not tired physically. You got to get more word in you because of how much you're giving out, how much you're putting out. You're pouring out and you're pouring out and you're pouring out. Now, who was tired after they did their sermon? Did anybody feel tired after you did your sermon? The day after your sermon? You feeling tired at all? There's a pouring out. Sometimes, I don't know how to explain this, Pastor Brad and I, after we minister, Terry Hagen, after we minister, especially after doing two classes in a row, the anointing is still carrying me through the evening. And so I stay up late a lot of times because of the power of God, because of that anointing. There were times where I got up here and I felt nauseous. And I stood here and I thought, praise the Lord, I'm not going to throw up. And I just stood here and the anointing came upon me and it left like that. The anointing of God. There's no sickness in heaven. Okay? There's no sickness in heaven. His anointing is so good. But anyway, that anointing would be so strong that, and they say this to ministers too. A lot of times ministers, when they minister, will stay up late at night. Okay? But then the next morning, I kind of would feel like I'd been in a boxing match. I'd be exhausted. And sometimes Brad on Monday morning when he wakes up, it's like, oh, Terry, the next day. What is it? You give out spiritually and you've got to replenish. You've got to put that back in. Now, some of you may be giving out and not even realizing you're giving out. The testing, people draining you on the job, people putting demands on your time, children demanding and not demanding necessarily, but no, yeah, they do demand. And then you have to deal with the demanding. You know what I'm saying? They have requests, but these requests are strong. And the younger they are, the more it's like, I need, I want, I need, I want, I need, I want right now. I want my needs met now. And you've got to deal with that. But sometimes there's a battle of the wills involved and it's draining. You've got to get your spirit man filled back up. So we do this by the word of God. Now, this is important. It does not come by prayer. You do not grow spiritually by prayer. You do not grow spiritually by experiences only. You do not grow spiritually by fasting. You do not grow spiritually by visions and revelations. The Word of God tells us how you grow. All those things are good. We like them. We appreciate them. We want to have experiences with God. We want to be praying. You know we value it. But you grow one way. It's by the Word of God. Now, it's important to remember that because sometimes people just want to pray and pray and pray and think it's going to happen that way. It has got to be by the Word of God. It comes by the knowledge of the Word. Now, I want to go into this a little bit too. And we've talked about this. We've talked about love a little bit. And I want to talk about renewing the mind, talk about some love, and then what it looks like for a full-grown believer. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, "Let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor." And if we know that we are to grow in love, and that is the primary way that we grow our spirit is through the Word, but by what? That's the primary commandment that God gave us is walking in love. Then what are we doing? And so often, so many of us are seeking after our own good. But really, for love to be mature, complete, God wants us seeking after the good of others, not just ourselves. When love does not rule the motives of people, then there isn't unity and there isn't harmony and there isn't the functioning of the body the way the body needs to function. God wants us flowing in love. He wants us in unity. He wants us preferring one another, blessing one another, being an encouragement to one another. And you know, even in the book Growing Up Spiritually, there was so much in there about the babyhood stage and even the carnal stage of talking behind each other's backs, bad-mouthing somebody, saying negative things about somebody, envy, strife, jealousy. And as long as those things were occurring, we weren't seeing maturing. That the maturing happens when Christians let go of those things and begin exercising more self-control so that they don't talk bad about people, but they very quietly and humbly switch it into prayer in private. Yeah. That's maturity. Anybody, including the world, can go around and talk bad about people, finding their faults, nitpicking, finding, you know, gee, finding their weaknesses. The world can do that, but we're not called in somebody. We're to take it to God and pray for them to be a blessing to them. Why? Because we want to seek out for their good and help them. And so next time you got a temptation to do that, you want to put a check on yourself and exercise self-control, especially with spouses. I noticed that you can get real comfortable and casual with your spouse. Then instead of putting bad words out there about somebody, even if it's true and it's something that you see, instead of adding to it, you're being a blessing to them by undergirding them in prayer and being a strength and a support to them and helping them in what might be a weak area, helping them to get stronger in that area. We're all graced with gifts that differ from one another. That's how we fit together so beautifully as the body of Christ. That's why we need each other. There are some people that can sing. It's wonderful. You know? There are some people that can work with kids. There are some people that know how to, with all the buttons on the soundboard. There are some people that know how to make computers work. It's wonderful. We need each other. We need those gifts. We need the people that have the grace for watching after the babies and giving the babies love. That atmosphere of love when they walk into that nursery room is more important than anything else. If there's an atmosphere and a flavor of joy and peace and love, it will minister to them. That's important. You know, we don't want to have people in there that they're stressed out and they're just doing their duty. You know, it's important, the atmosphere, because the children are spirit beings and they know things. They understand things. They pick things up. We are not to be conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I know that you know these verses because I know we've gone over them enough. But it's essential that you get this so that you know how to grow and how to continue developing yourself when you're finished with Bible school. I want these to be so ingrained in you that you can quote these, that I'm not to be conformed, but I'm to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So in other words, for you to know the perfect will of God, for you to prove out, walk out the perfect will of God, you've got to renew your mind. And when you renew your mind, then you're not conformed to the world, but you're transformed. Because babies or carnal Christians are that way because they haven't learned the word or enough of the word to be transformed yet. They've got to get their mind renewed on the word. We've got to get our minds renewed on the word. And we're to meditate in the word. So it's not just learning it one time. Oh, okay, I know that. It's good to know it, but we've got to be applying it. We need to be doing it. And Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, we're to put that new man on, which is renewed in knowledge. And again, the knowledge is by the word. This is how you develop your spirit. I want you to hear this here because you don't get it when you go to get a secular education. And if you didn't grow up in a Christian household, you don't get it there. You get this here. This is where you've got to get the word into you to grow yourself up spiritually. And when you're finished with Bible school, there's not going to be anybody except for God who does do a very, very good job to remind you about doing this. So it's get the habits in place now so that you're doing this yourself. So that you so know this material that it's very easy for you to impart this to somebody else. How does somebody know what choices to make? They've got to know the word. If they're not going to be conformed to what the world does, it's got to be the word that's going to prevent them from doing it. It's the word. It's the word. You've got to have the word come to you to know right from wrong. Or you know it in your conscience, but really, primarily, it's by the Holy Ghost and it's by the written word. So you've got to read it to know it. I remember one time somebody came and they were staying at our house and they were reading through the Bible. They'd gotten saved. They're living with us and they're reading through the Bible. And then they started asking me a question. And I said, well, and I started to explain to them and started to quote scripture. But it was further along in the New Testament. And they said, wait, 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 wait. I haven't gotten there yet. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Because I'm not accountable for it if I don't know it yet, and I haven't gotten there. So don't rush me. So don't answer it. And so I said, okay, keep reading, though. You'll get there. And they did. They read through the whole Bible in 6 months. They got there themselves, but it was just funny. That, in other words, if I don't know it, I'm not accountable for it. Well, actually, you know, we are, because even in the Old Testament, there was sacrifices made for the sin of ignorance, meaning somebody didn't know they were sinning, but they were still sinning. It was still sin. So there's sin of omission and commission. So we are accountable, and the more you study, the more you learn, the more you grow, the more accountable you become. And you will be finding that what you used to be able to do, you can no longer do. And I remember when we first got saved, speaking with somebody that said, the road's so narrow. Now, see, I don't find it this way, but they found it this way. It gets so narrow. It gets so narrow. And I thought, gee, oh, I haven't found it that way. I find the path of God glorious, yeah, because he's walking us into his highest and best. And he's conforming us to the image of Christ. I want to be conformed by God. I want to walk narrow. You know, and the path is narrow that leads to eternal life, isn't it? The Bible even tells us that the path is narrow. It is a narrow path. So those things that used to kind of be okay are probably not really okay anymore. That's the Holy Ghost tugging on your heart. Don't do that. Don't drink that. Don't eat that. Give that up. Give that up. Don't go there. Don't fellowship with them. Bad company corrupts good morals. It's one thing if you're there to witness. It's another thing if you're there partying with people that you shouldn't be partying with. See what I'm saying? Because we're walking with him, being conformed to his image. What a good and tremendous thing that is. Being conformed to the image of Christ. I want to be like him, don't you? Yeah. I want to be so loving. I remember when I read that passage on love, I just thought, that's what I want. That's it. That, count me in. I mean, that's how I fully committed my heart to the Lord, is I read, love is patient, love is kind. When I read that passage, I thought, that's it. Because I saw on my own, I was not going that direction. Personally, actually, I was a pretty good kid growing up, but then I started going worse and worse. And I thought, well, I'm not going that direction. I want to go that direction. I want to be loving. I want to be made that way. Check me in. Count me in. I'm in. You got my life. If that's the way you really want this world to be, that's the way you really created people to function, to be kind to one another, to love one another, to help one another. When I go back and I read through that, I think, praise God. That's what I want. I want to be more like him. I want to be like that. And we're in the process of growing closer and closer in doing that. Now, also, we know that to grow spiritually, love is so important. So I recommend that you spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and in 1 John. And I've even had people say that for you to read it this way, Gigi is patient. Gigi is kind. Now, I'm not saying go around and read it, everybody's name in the room. You personalize it to yourself. If God is love and you are made in the image of God, you are to be love. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And a lot of times we can get hard on ourselves if we fall short of the glory, but we don't want to stay there. We want to pick up what the Word says. And if the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, it means you have patience in your heart. You have kindness in your heart. You don't take into account a wrong suffered. What does that mean? When somebody does you wrong, you forgive it. Same way that Jesus forgave you. Not the way the other person forgives you, the way Jesus forgave you. And read through that. Put your name in there and read that. And that's a really good thing to do, is like a daily confession over yourself, until it starts to really get in your heart and develop in your heart real strong. And you start walking it out as more and more of a reality. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as you speak those things out over yourself, as you murmur them, as you utter them, meditate on them, and you speak those out, you're going to create that as a reality in your own life. See, love is in you, but it's like a fruit, and you can grow it. Grow that fruit. Grow that fruit of love. Now I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to close. This is for full-grown believers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 through 14. till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. He is calling us to grow up. He is calling us to walk in a maturity. We are certainly not to compare ourselves to the world. We're not even to compare ourselves to our brothers and sisters. We're to compare ourselves to the Word. Get the Word in you. How are you doing compared to what the Word says you are? Walk in the Word.